Jesus said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. And they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed to you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them, saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, John proclaimed good news to the people. The title of today's sermon is Good News to the People. Good News to the People. Now, I really wanted to make the title Good News to You Brood of Vipers. Now, the reason I didn't is because I'm always sensitive to what the sermon title says for an entire week on our outdoor electronic sign. It's not inviting to say, "Come to our church, you brood of vipers." Vipers are snakes. Calling people snakes isn't a welcoming message. Actually, it seems odd that this is the assigned gospel reading for just 10 days before Christmas. But in a real way, and I hope to show it, this is an excellent reading for preparing for Christmas. This is the situation. Life was bad for the people. They were fed up with the way their lives were going. Their freedom was gone. They were occupied by the Roman government. They were poor. Inflation was through the roof. Taxes were unmanageable. They were anxious and stressed. Sound familiar? They wanted to escape their lives. They wanted a way out of all that stress and anxiety. Even the tax collectors and the soldiers were anxious and stressed. Word was out that a prophet in the wilderness could save them. So they left their homes, they left their jobs to find this prophet. And when they found him, the prophet asked the crowd of ordinary people, tax collectors and soldiers, Why did you flee to the wilderness? Why here? Who said that you could escape your lives by coming to me? And then he calls them a brood of vipers. Now, most of us think of snakes as scary, dangerous, poisonous, even deadly. But John called them a brood of vipers. In those days, a brood meant baby snakes, newborn snakes. Baby snakes aren't as dangerous as full-grown snakes. When vipers hatch, they stay together. They huddle together. They don't leave the nest until they're mature. That's a brood of vipers. But there's an exception. When that brood is threatened, when their lives are in danger, they scatter. John was calling the crowd a frightened brood of runaway children, babies. There's a family story that very often comes up at Mineo family gatherings. One day in Union City, when we were young kids, very young, I was with my two brothers, Joe and Frank. We were headed downtown to go to a movie on a Saturday afternoon. Beautiful Saturday afternoon. At one point, crossing a street, we were imitating the walk of one of our cousins. It wasn't a very nice thing to do. And we exaggerated that walk into a very silly walk. We exaggerated it a great deal. All of a sudden, a nurse at the nursing home set way back across the street started yelling at us. She thought we were making fun of the residents there. We were not doing that. We weren't even thinking about the nursing home over there. But the nurse was so angry at us. She said she was going to call the police. We were young. And we felt threatened. So being the organizer that I am, I made a plan for the three of us to escape the police. We would split up. We would go downtown separately, each going a different way. I was only 11 or 12 years old. My organizational skills weren't that great yet, but I thought my plan was good. I thought it was genius. And I instructed my brothers to meet in front of the Western Auto Store. Last night when I told this story, they wondered why didn't I say meet at the theater. Well, I was only 11 or 12. So we scattered. And as planned, we met in front of the Western Auto Store. We felt safe, ready to go to the movie, which was just a block away. And just then, a police car pulled up to give us a little ride to our dad's store. We were a brood of vipers, children who had scattered to escape danger. Now, fortunately, both the police and our dad believed our story. So we rightly didn't get into any trouble. We were still safe. I suggest today that John the Baptist wasn't insulting the people when he called them a brood of vipers. He was describing their situation. The people had such hard lives that they were running away, they were splitting up, they were scattering from a hard and dangerous life, and they all came together in that place where John the Baptist was. and the tax collectors and the soldiers were getting away from an oppressive and unfair system. John was comparing this crowd to baby snakes in danger. They ran away from their difficult lives to find a prophet who was offering salvation. They scattered to be safe. They scattered to be saved. But John asked him, "Who told you that I'm the one to save you?" John makes it clear to them, he is not the one. Their Savior is coming soon. And so those three groups in the crowd asked John, "What then should we do? If you're not the one, and if the Savior is yet to come, what then should we do?" Now, since John was a prophet, and the main job of a prophet, the job description of a prophet, is to tell the people of God to do God's will. And that's exactly what he did. And that's the message of John. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And here's how to prepare, John told them. Go back home. Live your lives. Bear good fruit. Prepare by repenting of your sin. Live the way God wants you to live. John said to the people, even though you're poor, go home and share what you have. There's enough to go around. Take care of each other. That's how you prepare. Don't let anyone starve. Provide food and shelter for those in need. Go and live your lives, but do better. And John basically said the same thing to the tax collectors and the soldiers. Go back to your jobs, but stop cheating people. Stop abusing people with your power. Treat people with kindness. Go back to your jobs, but do better. That's how you prepare. Now, in this Brood of Vipers sermon, John the Baptist said that a Savior is coming with an axe to cut down fruitless trees, and a winnowing fork to burn with unquenchable fire those who are bad. A fellow pastor had a comment on social media this past week about Santa Claus having a list. You know the list. He's checking it twice to find out who's naughty or nice. This is what the pastor wrote. "As a good Lutheran, I believe I'm on both lists." And this is the way we Lutherans look at forgiveness and sin. We're saints and sinners at the same time. In Latin, simul justus et peccator. In terms of Santa Claus, we're both at the same time naughty and nice. What John is teaching is that the Savior is coming in to forgive those parts of us that are bad, that are naughty, that are sinful, that are evil. The last words of the gospel reading today were, John proclaimed good news to the people. And all of this is good news. The axe, the winnowing fork, and the fire are instruments of God's divine love. The Messiah finds us and cleanses us, baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. He cleanses us, takes away our sins, forgives us, forgives the bad within us. The Messiah is the one who saves us when we scatter, when our lives are difficult and painful and hard and anxious. At the beginning of the sermon, I said this is an excellent reading for preparing for Christmas. In this season of preparation, we can feel like frightened children, like a brood of children, frightened, running away. Life can be unfair. Life can be scary. Sometimes we make a mess of our lives by our sin. So we need forgiveness. We need salvation. And the good news of Christmas is that God came down as one of us to keep us together, to forgive us, to heal us, to save us, to love us. There's no need to scatter. The good news today is that when we do better, when we share, when we're kind, when we're nice, when we forgive as we're forgiven, these things give us true joy, true deep down soulful joy. Joy, this joy from the Savior is good news to the people. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is good news to the people. The forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of the naughty, the bad, the evil, the forgiveness is good news to the people. The birth of Jesus is good news to the people. And God's ultimate gift, eternal, everlasting joy, this is good news to the people. Let us pray. Bring into your mind now any of the dangers, the trials, the struggles, the sickness, the worries, the anxieties, the grief in your lives and in the lives of those you love. Bring all of these into your mind right now. Think of them. Gather all these things into a brood of troubles. As you think on them, listen for the voice of God, who says to us and to those you love, I have found you. I have found you with your brood of troubles. I will protect you. I will forgive you. I will heal you. I will save you. God says, I will love you. The voice of God says, I will give you everlasting joy. I will give you everlasting joy. I will give you everlasting joy.